Israel's 3-week military offensive in Gaza ended as if perfectly timed to coincide with the end of George W. Bush's presidency and before Barack Obama took the oath of office on January 20th. Israel and Hamas both declared a unilateral ceasefire on January 18th. Israel stated that the attack was launched on December 27th to stop Gaza's Hamas government from firing crude rockets into southern Israel. The death toll resulting from the Israeli-Gaza assault is estimated at more than 1,300 Palestinians, many of them civilians. Israel reported that 10 of their soldiers and 3 civilians were killed during the Gaza operation. Several Arab nations accused Israel of using radioactive depleted uranium munitions in Gaza, a charge that Israel denies. Many observers link the Israeli government decision to attack Gaza with the quest for political advantage in the nation's February 10th parliamentary election. The ruling Kadima Party's foreign minister Tzipi Livni and Labor Party defense minister Ehud Barak are hoping to overtake Likud Party leader Benjamin Netanyahu, who is currently ahead in the polls to become Israel's next prime minister. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author Chris Hedges about the repercussions of the slaughter of civilians in Gaza and the connection between the many injustices suffered by Palestinians and the decades-long conflict.
I'm certainly no friend of Hamas. You know, I've been very harsh about religious fundamentalism of all types. I don't approve of their tactics of using suicide bombers. Hamas, when they took power in 2006, carried out a series of executions of opponents within the Gaza Strip. The rocket attacks are a war crime. But I think that we have to understand that all of this doesn't negate the legitimacy of Palestinian resistance, armed resistance, to the Israeli siege and the occupation of Gaza. That the use of violence on the part of the Palestinians is in direct response to the violence of the occupation. And when you belittle, humiliate, and oppress a people for as long as the Israelis have oppressed the Palestinians, violence is a tragic but normal reaction. That's what happens. And I think that that sort of has been lost in much of the debate, that it is Israel that is not only in violation of UN resolutions, but in violation of international laws, the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights, Richard Falk, has repeatedly pointed out.
And of course, your main message I took away from the column titled Peace is in the Eye of the Beholder is that we constantly hear from our leaders, whether they be in Israel or in Washington, that the ends justify the means, that the disproportionate violence and slaughter launched on combatants and civilians alike in Gaza is justified because Hamas, has launched crude rockets into Israel, and this was the only way that it could be stopped. And in a tough world where we live, is there an alternative? I guess that's the question I think we're all asking.
Well, I think that the Israeli response has been deeply counterproductive to Israel's long-term security interests. Not only was it wildly disproportionate, I think the UN says now that 50,800 Palestinians are now homeless, some 400,000 are without running water, more than 1,300 Palestinians have been killed, and now that the firing has stopped, relief agencies are finding whole neighborhoods flattened. So the number of dead is certainly set to rise, and to rise significantly. The tragedy of the entire Israeli-Palestinian conflict has been, ever since the assassination of Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, has been an attempt by the Israeli leadership to crush the Palestinians. And unfortunately, that kind of a tactic, which has been long the Israeli policy towards the Palestinians, has given rise to a militancy, an Islamic militancy, not only within the Palestinian community. When I first went to cover Gaza and the West Bank, the leadership was decidedly secular, as was most of Palestinian society, but has fueled radical Islamic movements throughout the region.
Chris, is there any hope that Barack Obama can go where past presidents have not in brokering some long-lasting peace here?
I don't think much is going to change in the Middle East. under a Barack Obama administration. Israel has, you know, they call them facts on the ground, but Israel has created a situation on the ground that pretty much makes the viability of a Palestinian state impossible. The vast expansion of Jewish settlements on the West Bank during the Bush administration, the use of a security barrier or wall, which doesn't run along the 1967 Green Line, demarcation line, but dips deep into Palestinian territory. Well, once all this links up with ring roads and restricted military zones, and the UN has drawn up maps that have shown this, Israel has essentially has or will, by the time they're done, seize about 40% of the West Bank, including most of the aquifers. And I think that it's very clear now that the Israeli policy is to reduce Palestinian existence to a subsistence level of misery, to make sure that Palestinians are completely hemmed in and ringed by the Israeli military, so that if they become too restive, all movement, all food, all supplies can be shut down, as they've done in Gaza and as they've done on the West Bank. That is their policy. I think that it is one that will come back to haunt Israel, but it's very clear that the possibility of a two-state solution died with Yitzhak Rabin.
That was Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Chris Hedges, author of War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning. Hedges served as the New York Times Middle East bureau chief for nearly 7 years. Read his column, Pieces in the Eye of the Beholder, online at truthdig.com.